The Executive Chair on News Talk.
Thanks to Guaranteed Irish. Jobs, community, provenance. Guaranteed. Join us at guaranteedirish.ie. Supporting business that supports Ireland.
And welcome to the Executive Chair, William McColgan. He's the director at McColgan's Quality Foods up there in Strabane. William, very welcome to the programme. Thank you for joining us. Maybe tell us a little bit about the early days, the origins of the business that was originally set up in 1940, consisting of a tea room, later a butcher shop, and then a bakery. Because this is actually important in the evolution of your own story.
Certainly, Bobby. Yeah, it's an honour to be here. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, my grandfather started the company in Strabane in 1940. Yeah, wasn't familiar with that iteration of it. Never met the man. He was gone before I was born. Yeah, he passed on in his 50s and went on to the second generation, who built it into something else. So the tea room, as you say, added a bakery, added a butcher's. They started making savoury pastry products through that. They started winning prizes and going out through retailers. And then we broke ground on the factory in 1983 to keep up with retail demand.
Okay. Now, and again, you're in an interesting character in that you kind of ploughed your own furrow and weren't part of this family business, because after working in various jobs such as van sales, waiting, you were even a scallop fisherman at a stage, you decided to go your own way. You're a highly educated individual. You say you drifted into accountancy after getting a degree in accountancy and finance. You've an MBA in entrepreneurial management. You've another degree in software development, and you're currently studying AI in Donegal. So education has been something that you probably did for a lot of years, and your father probably says, when is this fella ever going to get a job?
I don't seem to be able to quit doing degrees, Bobby. I can't tell you what it is. Some kind of gap or lack there that needs to be filled. I don't know what it is.
Well, just on a serious note then, the value of constant learning, which I think you obviously embrace.
Yeah.
Because the world is changing, and I think we need to educate ourselves with this changing world. Is that
absolutely
a philosophy that you'd subscribe
absolutely
to?
Absolutely it is. And the one even more so, I'd say, is what you bring from one domain into another that's transferable in ways of thinking, patterns of thinking.
Yeah.
That might apply in ways you wouldn't expect elsewhere. Like all of that statistical stuff applies all over the place. All of that modeling, all of that predictive analysis, all of that applies in sausage roll demand and in continuous improvement. It's all good stuff.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your 16 years away. You were an actuary, effectively. You worked with Mercer in Dublin, in Stuttgart, in Frankfurt, Philadelphia. Yep. I think you did some time with Liberty Mutual as well. What did you do in those places?
Well, in Dublin, I was doing actuarial valuations.
Right.
Yeah, and then in Germany, I put in the valuation system. That was an assignment. And when the guy who was doing it for Europe went to do it in Germany, he asked me would I come and do that for 6 months with him. And I said it would, which turned into 2 years. There was a lot of other acquisitions, and we had to roll out the platform elsewhere. And then I took a job in Philadelphia working on the valuation system. At that time, Elliott Spitzer was coming after MMC, the parent company, and I got seconded into that compliance team. And then that grew into a global career going around Singapore, Latin America, Canada, doing the compliance function. And then I went back to Wharton and did the MBA. And coming out of that, became a director up at Liberty Mutual in Boston. My wife and I got married then, and she was from New England. We moved up to Boston.
Okay.
Yeah.
And tell us then, and unusually, or maybe not usually, you actually bought the family business with your sister. So
I did.
So this wasn't something that was, hey, William, come on home here and take over. It was like, if you want this business, you can buy it. Was that the diktat?
No, it was. Nobody was giving it away, Bobby. What can I tell you? It was there. We put a deal together. It was to everybody's satisfaction.
So did you, and again, I'm just interested in how that all came about, because you're obviously working away in your actual duties. You're doing very well in the States.
Yeah.
And you decide to come home. Yeah. To the family business that you've been away for so long.
Yeah, that was running hard to avoid since a young man. Yeah. Well, my sister was the MD, and it was in transition again. You know, the next generation, there wasn't a very firm succession plan in place there. And my dad was getting ill. He had retired. My uncle was had some health issues, and it was just at that point again where it was, what's going to happen here? And I spoke to my sister, and we agreed, we made a plan, and we executed on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, tell us about the business today, William.
Sure.
Well, it's called McColgan's Quality Foods. It's so much more. I'm told you are the sausage roll man. There's north of a million sausage rolls coming out of there per day.
Yeah. That's
so
true.
This is a serious production food facility.
It is, and it's become that from very humble beginnings. Like we've built that organically from scratch, no acquisition activity. We supply all of the retailers down here. We're in Aldi, Lidl, Tesco, Dunnes, Musgraves. We're similar in the north. We're over to the UK. We make own brand. We make our own McColgan's brand. We have quiche. We have pies, slices.
If someone is to consume a sausage roll somewhere on their journey around Ireland or in the UK, it's likely to be made in your factory.
There's a good chance. There's a fighting chance. If it's a retail one especially, there's a fighting chance. If it's food service, also, we're in there too.
Do you only do savory? As in
at this time, yeah. We had some apple lattices at one point. We didn't expand on that. We're entirely savory at this point, but we're always looking at opportunities.
Yeah. The difference then between food service and retail, do they present different challenges?
They do, certainly. The food service stuff is predominantly frozen. So that gives you a lot more, as you know, flexibility and option on building stock and running down stock. We've been building stock for Christmas since June because the rate at which people like those little frozen sausage rolls at Christmas, you couldn't make them quick enough to satisfy demand.
Right.
So we've been ramping up on that. We've been building up stocks of that. Obviously, the retail is chilled and it's difficult. You know, the clock starts as soon as that comes out of the oven. You've got to get it down to temperature. You've got to get it in the supply chain. You've maybe 16 days and the retailer wants 12 of those.
Yeah.
So there's no messing about. You have to be predicting and forecasting demand very accurately or you get your waste.
We hear a lot about lean manufacturing.
Yes.
I know it's something that you embrace.
Very much so.
Tell us a little bit about the commitment you need to make to lean and the upside of what it does for your business.
It's interesting. I first came across it. I came across it in Wharton. Some of the professors had been in the Toyota studies originally, and then we did it at Liberty Mutual. We transformed, but you can't have to it.
Yeah.
And every implementation that I'm aware of has failed a few times on the same kind of cultural pieces. It starts with culture. You either want to be the best in the world and pursuing perfection continuously, or you're not really doing lean. And it's that kind of mindset that is...
You can't leanize bits of your business and decide you don't want to do...
No.
So it's not a la carte.
And it's everything. It's HR, it's finance, it's marketing. It's departments that don't think they should have to be lean. And it's the culture.
Yeah. Isn't it about as well taking waste and inefficiency out of the business?
Absolutely. These forms of Muda or it, depending on your definition. Yeah, very much.
And what about all these group hugs that people have in the morning and all that stuff?
We don't hug.
Yeah.
We have been on visits to other ones that are quite, there's stretching up. Have you had Seating Matters yet? They have a stretch at their morning meeting. But
do they?
We do have a morning meeting. There's no touching.
Yeah. But the and that's part of the culture, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you sort of humanize lean, and does it get easier then as it becomes embedded in your thinking and in your process?
It does. Keep challenging yourself on it.
Yeah.
It is a very human endeavor. It sounds like you want to mechanize and standardize everything, but in fact, you're embracing the whole employee and you're giving them ownership of the process and you're giving them the tools and the structures within to improve the process because they can see the frustrations every day. They can see, why isn't that there? Why isn't that closer? Why do I have to carry this? All of that knowledge on how to make this more efficient it's not with me or my sister, the MD. It's with the individual contributors. They know where the improvements are.
Yeah, and that makes it powerful because one can control one's own destiny.
And you're not just hiring the operative from the neck down.
Yeah.
You're involving their whole creativity and their whole ability to improve these things.
Tell us then about the savory patisserie business. You've carved out a nice niche. What about R&D and what about new products and new things? People, where do you look to?
We're responding to trends the whole time. We look to different markets. We look to UK market. We look to US are often ahead of us in these things by a few years. There are trends we have to look at. We're looking at nutritional trends. The GLP-1s are obviously making a big difference. Trends are changing towards high protein.
And higher protein and maybe more smaller portions, that kind of stuff?
It seems to be like the meatier sausage roll, the more gourmet sausage rolls have really taken off for us in the last 5 years. People want to have a good bite and hit the macros as they go about these things.
You're involved then outside of the business in the Londonderry Chamber.
Yeah.
What does that do for you in terms of how did that come about, and what difference does it make to your business?
We were trying to be a good citizen, I think, just participating in the chamber. But then you become more and more involved, and you see that you're raising the level of the region. The Northwest is really it's taken off at the minute.
We're going
to do a lot of stuff. It would take off from the drive down this morning, would take off a lot better if we had that road fixed on the way to it.
You're
trying to raise the boats, because you look at some of the other EY finalists, like John Harkin has brought NTT Data. They're not in Dublin. They're not in Belfast. They're in Derry now.
Yeah.
Bob Heron opened that EY office up there. That's in Derry, and that's where the growth is. We're going to add another 1,000 jobs, I think, over the next 5 years, and we hope to get a good slice of them.
So the area is buoyant, and again, you're central to it.
I don't know if I am. It's certainly got a good buzz to it, but we've got so much catching up to do. We've got a lot of room to grow. We've got Vertiv. We've got Seagate. Those are major on that AI boom that you were just talking to the last guest on. And we're in the thick of that, and we're trying to maximize that. University is going to grow to 10,000 places, and that'll make a big difference, as it did in Galway, as it did in Cork. That's what we're after.
When do you complete your postgrad diploma on AI?
I think that's done in November.
What's your thesis?
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet?
Currently studying collaboration technologies.
Okay.
We're doing a lot with that, too. We learned from Cocoon. You remember the guys that were on the trip? They've done so much in terms of how they're deploying AI. In simple tooling, not very complex things, but just developing the tools with pace and velocity that they need to run the business. It was fast. I highly recommend that tour if anybody's about Newry for that.
Yeah. Finally, William, you're a motorcyclist again, a biker at heart. Did you come down on the bike from Strabane this morning?
I didn't this morning. I considered it, but then I wanted to listen to some more of your podcast on the way down, so I thought that'll be easier in the car.
Well, okay. Well, William McColgan of McColgan Quality Foods, keep making those sausage rolls.
Will do, Bobby.
A million sausage rolls a day.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.